So we have been talking about the whole year is about making a difference, and for various reasons, and the part of the getting everybody together for the Haiti trip, helping out with the harvest offering, bringing that together, and being able to purchase some things to help out the Living Water Christian Mission down there, and then getting together to pray for everyone that's going to be going there and committing to that. That's part of this whole making a difference theme. Guess who's coming to dinner? Part of making a difference. The tubing trip in January, part of making a difference. The Reds Faith Day, part of the making a difference. All these different times where we can get together and be part of the family, that's part of the making a difference. And then also every sermon this year in here, maybe a couple from different guest people will be outside of the area, because we'll have, who is it, Jay Henry will be here in May for the dinner theater, and then he'll be speaking on that Sunday too. So that'll be nice. That'll be a little outside of that. But Kurt, when he comes and speaks, and when Shane speaks, and so we've got, everything will be around this idea of making a difference. We started this whole thing off, kicked the whole thing off with joy and excitement in church. And we talked about that through the whole month of January. And then this month we're talking about why would someone choose Miami Town Church of Christ? Kind of an odd, a unique subject for a series, but I think it's a series that's very important for us to venture into at this time, and I think there are a lot of very good reasons. I think last week we kind of picked up on some things there, and it kind of helped to make some sense out of why this is a good subject for us right now. Why would someone choose Miami Town Church of Christ? Well, we talked about joy and excitement in church because of God and our relationship with God. That was in January. But then this month, talking about specifically our church here, but the church itself, it was God's idea, was it not? Yes, it was God's idea. It was God's concoction. It was God's design was the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church should be something that we enjoy, something that we are excited about, something that touches us and hits us in a spot that's just exciting. And we can't, there's no reason to really separate that out. Our joy and excitement in God should also be a joy and excitement in church. And we have specific reasons to be excited about our little part of the church here at Miami Town. And we should know what those reasons are, so that when we invite someone to come to church with us, to join us on a Sunday morning, that we would have some concrete reasons why it would be worth their while, why it would be of interest to them to join us for church. And so that's part of what this is about this month. The subjects this month have been taken from consistent comments that I've received from either guests at our church or new members, or new attenders, people who have started attending. And so these subjects have been out of that those conversations. I get a chance to have conversations with people like that all the time, and not all of us get a chance to have that. So I love being able to look at our church through their eyes. It gives me a fresh look at our church and a way of looking at what our church looks like to someone who walks in through the doors for the first time, either the first time in a long time or maybe the first time they've ever stepped into a church. And so I get a chance to get that. And so I think sharing that with everyone, to get that fresh look through their eyes, is just, it's very important. And so this month we're talking about five different reasons why we should be excited about our church. We talked about the first of these five last week, and that was just the attention to sound doctrine. And we got a little bit, last week was a little bit different. All these messages, they're going to be a little bit different than your standard sermons. And so last week, we spent a little bit of time, 15, 20 minutes, on a history lesson, on the history of the Restoration Movement, and looked at the movement that our church was birthed out of, and how sound doctrine has been important in our movement since, day one of the movement that started the Christian Church, Church of Christ. But then sound doctrine also goes all the way back to the very first church back 2,000 years ago, that it was important then, it's important now. And so we took a moment after that to look at why sound doctrine is important. It is important to have sound doctrine because our faith, we claim to have a faith that is based out of absolute truth. If our faith is based on absolute truth, we have to make sure that any teaching that is supposed to connect us to that truth is as pure and healthy as that teaching can be. So it's uncontaminated teaching is the definition that we gave to sound doctrine last week. And that's so that we can recognize the difference between healthy teaching and false teaching. Because our behavior is a reflection of what we believe. Our behavior is always going to be a reflection of what we accept as truth. And so if we are connected to truth in a pure and healthy way, then our behavior is going to reflect that. But if we've got some distortion there in the teaching, then that's going to affect our behavior. That's going to affect how we act, and we don't want that to be a part of it. And beyond that, even more important is that buying into a false doctrine or buying into false teachings will jeopardize our faith, because our faith is attached to this idea of absolute truth. If we are buying into false doctrines, we're being swept away by empty philosophies or false teachings that are inspired by demons. Those things will jeopardize our faith, as we looked at some scriptures last week that talked about that. So it's very, very important for us to be able to understand the difference between sound doctrine and false teaching. And in addition to that, understanding our faith helps us better to contend for the faith, as Jude had encouraged us, exhorted us all to do, to contend for the faith. So sound doctrine is very important, a very important element to have in a church. And our church, specifically, our church pays very special attention to making sure that sound doctrine is taught here across the board. And that's something that we can look at our church and say, you know what? That's something our church stands on. That's something that's very important to our church. And we do a pretty good job of it, as far as I can see and as far as I know. I know our leadership, children's ministry, our teachers and preachers, all the different people that are active in teaching, that is something that we all hold high. So today we're going to be talking about the importance of a warm and friendly church, and then to kind of outline the rest of it, since I'm not going to be here next Sunday, and I'll just be getting back in for the next Sunday after that to give you guys the other subjects that we'll be looking at. Next week, while I'm in Haiti, one of our elders, Kurt Borntrager, who plays bass on a regular basis, he will be sharing with us on our children's programming, how our children's programming is safe and intentional, how it's geared and targeted towards that age group. And that's once again, another comment I get from people. Then the week after that, Shane Douglas will be sharing with us. And we talked this past week, and he's got a great message planned for you guys. It's going to be about the sermons and how the sermons are engaging and relevant. And that's another thing that we've got going for us here. And then I'll close up the series on how our worship is, and this is a comment I get often from people, our worship is very authentic. It's a non-production style of worship leading that happens here, and that's a plus. That's something that people see, and they like that. And so we're going to talk about why that's important on the last Sunday. So today, talking about, we are a warm and friendly church. This is one of the top five things that I hear on a regular basis, is that our church is warm and friendly. And it's no matter if you're dressed in slacks and a dress shirt or a t-shirt and jeans, no matter if you're young or older, no matter if you come to our traditional service or our contemporary service, across the board, the worship styles are very different, but any service we have, any get-together we have, the comment I get back from people who are guests or new attenders or new members is that they had a warm and friendly experience here at Miami Town Church of Christ. And I'm sure that there are some that fall through the cracks. I hope that's not the case. But, you know, the reality of it, I'm sure it happens. But across the board, the comments that I receive from guests and new members is that this is a very warm and friendly church. And so before we even venture into that, let me encourage you, church, don't let off the gas. Don't let off the gas to pat yourself on the back. Pat yourself on the back while you keep the gas down, while you keep up with this. Do everything you can. Make every effort to be even better than you already are at this idea of a warm and friendly church. This is a great attribute to have, a great culture to have here. It makes a big, big difference. And it's something that depends on all of us. When you look at sound doctrine, something that our church, you know, does a good job of, that if you look at the responsibility, that falls on the shoulders of the leadership. That falls on the shoulders of the people that are in charge of the education in our building, the Sunday schools, the small groups, the preaching, teaching, the children's, anything that's taught in the children's area, anything that's taught in the youth area, then all of that. So it falls kind of on their shoulders. Yes, we all buy into it. We all support it. We all are very strong about it. And we might hold each other accountable. You know, if I say something that's a little off, someone might come up to me and say, hey, you know, you might want to check that. That didn't quite agree with this or that or the other thing. And I love that. I love getting checked up on. And that's there are times when I'll have that come, something like that presented, and go, oh, you know what? I was a little off there. Or I'll listen to myself on, you know, every week I try to review the sermon afterwards. And sometimes I'll listen to things and I'm like, that was a little off what I really wanted to share, or this didn't quite agree, and so that really bothers me. So, but that subject, that really kind of falls on the shoulders of those presenting, those who are in charge of that. Things like children's ministry, our safe and intentional ministry programs for the children and our youth, that really falls on the shoulders of Dawn and all of those that are involved in those ministry areas. And so we see how that falls into that. The worship being, you know, authentic and just a raw feeling to the worship, that falls on the shoulders of the people on the worship team, the worship leaders. It falls on Logan. I'm ultimately responsible for what I preach on a Sunday morning. I've got a team that helps me out with that, and it's a great team, but when it comes down to content, organization, delivery, you know, that's I'm ultimately responsible for that. But being a warm and friendly church, this is a different subject of the five. Because it depends on every one of us. All of us are involved in this subject, in being a part of this, in making this happen, and being a warm and friendly church. It's up to all of us, because if any of us drop the ball on this, if any of us are kind of off our game that day or just aren't quite with it, then it could mean that there are people that come in through our doors who don't have a warm and friendly experience. And we may never know who those people are, because they may come in and then they may leave. It may be the only Sunday. You know, they might have said, you know what, I've been estranged from church for 10 years. I'm going to give it one more shot and see if it's changed any within the past 10 years. And they come in and they leave and they didn't have a warm and friendly experience, and that could be it. And it won't matter how authentic the worship may have felt. It won't matter how engaging the sermon was or how safe they felt their children were in the children's department. If they didn't have a warm and friendly experience, then we might have missed the opportunity to encourage them to make another trip out to come and worship with us, to learn more about God, to develop a relationship with God, to develop a relationship with his people. So it is very important that we all do our part. I believe that we all do. I constantly hear from others that our church is warm and friendly. But I want to make sure that we're continuing that. That we understand that is a very important thing. You know, that's one of the things I share with people when I invite them to our church. I'll tell them, you know, you can come to our church and you will be greeted with a smile. You'll be greeted warmly. You will have a friendly experience there. I'll let them know that the people here, it's a warm group of people. If you decide to come to the traditional service or the contemporary service, the people at our church are going, their desire is to make you feel at home. And I can say that with confidence when I'm sharing with people. And I want to let you guys know, this isn't some kind of surface level, you know, kids gloves approach that if we're nice to people, then we'll get them to come to our church. It's not a church growth tactic or technique. The subject of a warm and friendly church, it is a kingdom issue. We need to understand that it's not just a tactic or technique. It is a kingdom issue. And that's what we're going to be digging in and talking about today. This attitude by all of us, this attitude that is perceived by anyone who enters this door, our doors, it is a kingdom issue. And it is a big deal. Now, first of all, I didn't put this in your notes. After the bulletins had already been given to Karen and printed up, I was sorting through things and realized, you know what, this would have been nice to have in there. So I'm going to have it up on the screen. So if you want to go the long way around, you are more than welcome to write this down on your bulletin. So this might be your first note. We are responsible for the people that God brings to our church. We are responsible for the people that God brings to our church. We have a divine appointment with that person or with that family. I believe that anyone who comes to our church, anyone who comes in through our doors, they are here because God has placed them here. They are under our care for that Sunday morning. God has entrusted us with that person or with that family on that particular Sunday that they join us. We are responsible. John records Jesus saying this in chapter 6 of his gospel. He says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." Interesting word there, draws them. It's a great verse for many different reasons. But in some of my studies this week, one commentator really focused in on this word draw and brought up some things. And I was like, I don't know about that. So I had to check him up. I don't care how many degrees you got attached to your name. If you say something that sounds like it's a little iffy, I'm going to check up on you. And so I did. I did some checking up on what his observation was. And man, he was dead on with it. His observation was that the word, the Greek word that John chose to use here, was that God draws. It's a term that involves some level of resistance, some level of there's a word there that, anyway, yeah, hesitation works. It's on my next page, I guess. But there's some level of resistance with that word, connected to that word. And so when I started kind of looking at where this word shows up elsewhere in the New Testament, I was like, you know what? This guy's got a point. Later on in John's gospel, in John chapter 21, there's a great catch that happens on a boat. And you guys can read about it on your own. But the idea of that is that the net was so full of fish that when they tried to haul, and that's the word for drag, that's the same word that's used here, to draw. When they tried to draw the net into the boat, they couldn't do it because it was so full of fish. It was this idea that there was resistance to it, that they couldn't do it. They tried to draw it, but there was resistance. So what they did was they drug it behind the boat, and that was actually a different Greek word used there. But then once they got to the shore, we're told that Peter drew the net ashore. And that would have, I mean, if it was so heavy you couldn't even get in the boat, there would have been some resistance there, some reluctance to come along with that. The same Greek word shows up in Acts when Paul and Silas are in Philippi and they are dragged before the authorities. That's the same word as draw here, to draw near. They are dragged before the authorities, and that wasn't something they weren't going willingly. It wasn't going to be good. If you read the rest of the story, they are thrown in jail. They're beat. They're stripped naked, beaten, thrown in jail. So yeah, they weren't going willingly. There was some resistance involved in them being dragged before the authorities. And again, in Jerusalem, when Paul returns to Jerusalem, when he is arrested and he makes his case to want to appeal to Caesar in Rome, he is dragged. When people took hold of Paul, they dragged him out of the temple. Once again, it was a dragging. It was something that would have had some sort of resistance. James uses this word when he's talking about how the rich were oppressing the poor. And his readers, he was appealing to his readers, saying that is it not the rich who are dragging you into court? Who are taking you, dragging you? That's that same word. And so the point the commentator was making was that all of us who have been drawn to God, it has been with some level of resistance or some level of reservation that we have been brought to God. And if you think about it, in your own experience with God, that's a true statement. God did not brainwash us. He didn't, do something where he hypnotized us and we accepted him. There was some level of resistance there when we were being drawn to God. There was some level of reservation, questioning things and digging, but we still felt God's pull. There was a little resistance. So if that's true, which all of us know it to be true, it does fit with this scripture and the way that this Greek word is used, which I thought was a very keen observation by this commentator. And then after digging, realized, wow, there's a lot to be said for this. So it's in the Bible, and it's in my experience. I believe it would be in all of our experience. So let's look at this and think of someone coming in through our back door that they, if they are being called by God, there's going to be some level of resistance, some level of reservation there. And if you think about it just on a very practical level, anytime you go somewhere new, anytime you go somewhere, you know, even if there's not a spiritual element to it, there's going to be some level of resistance, some level of reservation. Now, you add that to being a church and some of the reputations that different churches have, there is a certain level of reservation involved in attending a church for the first time or coming into a church the first time. You connect that to this deeper understanding that being drawn to God involves its own level of resistance, its own level of reservation. And then we connect in this understanding that if they come in through our front doors, how easy is it to drop that level of resistance with just a smile and a handshake? To take away some of that anxiousness of saying, well, I don't know about church, or I don't know about this, or I don't know about that. And then all of a sudden they get here and they have a friendly face, a sincere friendly face. How quickly does that take away some of that reservation? How easy is that? How quickly is that reduced, that reservation reduced, just by holding a door open for them? We think it's something simple, but that can make the difference. Something that little. Think of how quickly, you know, just by introducing yourself to them and asking if they would like for you to show them to the worship center. Not point them the direction. Not go up the stairs and turn left or whatever, you know, and they get all turned around because the stairs go backwards and forwards. But to actually say, would you like for me to show you to the, you know, take some time out of your morning and show them. If they've got kids, would you like for me to show you to their children's area and introduce you to Don, our children's director? Think of how quickly that lowers that resistance, that lowers that reservation just by something small. Those small gestures, they go a long, long way. So that's someone coming in through our door. I want to get back to that thought of that touch and what that means. We're going to venture off into another direction. This is where we're going to have a little bit of study this morning, so we can go and take out our notes. The first measure of warmth and friendliness starts with how we treat each other. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death." Let's write this down. The sincerity of our relationship with God is communicated through how we treat each other. The sincerity of our relationship with God is communicated through how we treat each other. We know that a transformation has happened inside of us, that we have passed from death to life, That we've gone from a lost soul who was rebellious against God to someone who has been saved by God's grace and mercy, someone who loves God. We know that we've been transformed through that relationship because that transformation will be evident in how we treat each other. The sincerity of our relationship with God is communicated through how we treat each other. John says, anyone who does not love remains in death. Our warmth and friendliness as a church starts with each other. And it's not something that's superficial. It's a big deal. Anyone who does not love remains in death. If we had a real experience of a transformation through God's rescue of our soul, then we will love each other. This reveals a couple of things about some of our core beliefs that shift when we are influenced by the salvation that God has shown to us, that salvation encounter that we have with God. It shifts some things for us in a very, very great way. Jesus shared with his disciples the night of his arrest and his trial. He said, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another." And just to let you know, I wanted the first message in the series to be the sound doctrine, because that's kind of a foundational thing. and worship kind of to be the last, and we had to arrange the ones in the middle based on the trip to Haiti. I did not plan for this to be on February 14th. But how fitting is it that on Valentine's Day, we have a message that has the word love in it, I don't know how many times. He says, I give you a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let's write this down. Our love for each other reveals our commitment to Christ. Our love for each other reveals our commitment to Christ. The action and attitude of our love for each other is how the world will know that we are followers of Jesus. How the world will know that we are his disciples. The old hymn captured the truth of this verse in the phrase, they will know we are Christians by our love. How many of you guys said by our love again? We heard that song so many times. Why will the world know that we are disciples, Jesus' disciples? By our love for one another? Why is that the case? It's because love is central to our faith. Love is central. God is love. 1 John 4:8. And then again in verse 16, we're going to be reading that passage a little later. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, John 3:16. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, Mark 12:30 and 31. Love your enemies. Don't just love your neighbor, love your enemies, Matthew 5:44. Love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:8. Those are just a few. Love is central, and if love is central to our faith, if love is central to you and you and you and you and you and me and all of us who call Christ our Lord, then it should be first and foremost seen in how we treat each other. If it's a central thought, if it's a central principle, if it's central to our faith, a faith that we all call Christ as our Lord, that we are all his disciples, then it should be seen first and foremost in how we treat each other. If it's not seen here, then how can we expect the world to believe that we are who we say we are? Our love for each other reveals our commitment to Christ. Our acceptance of each other is also connected to this. Paul captures this in Romans 15. He says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude. Everyone say, same attitude. Of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you. Jesus said, I want you to love just as I have loved you. Here, Paul saying, we need to accept each other just as Christ has accepted us. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So let's write this down. Our acceptance of each other reveals the impact of Christ's acceptance of us. Just as our love for each other reveals our commitment to Christ, our acceptance of each other reveals the impact of Christ's acceptance of us. And sometimes I think we forget how amazing it is that Christ accepts us. He accepts you. He accepts me. Jesus, the very Son of God, the perfect Son of God, the author and perfecter of our faith, the sinless sacrifice, Jesus, holy, never did anything wrong, who is also the judge of all mankind, accepts you for who you are, where you are, no matter what you've done, where you've come from, that kind of acceptance. Yeah, praise God. Sometimes I think we forget about that. Paul says, you need to show the same acceptance to each other that Christ showed to you. Think about, you know, we do a good job of this, and this is why it's in this, you know, series. But think of how that would get even better if we continue to apply some of this and really dig our heels in and say, you know what? I'm going to commit to accept everyone in our church just as Christ accepted me. What kind of environment would just drop onto the campus here at Miami Town Church of Christ with just that one little piece from today's message? How great would that be? He accepts us. How has that truth impacted you? It should show in how we accept each other. We should have the same attitude of Jesus, of acceptance that he has had with us, to accept others just as Christ accepted each of us. So that's kind of a little bit of the internal. I want us to return to this idea of someone coming in through our doors and this God appointment, this opportunity that we have, this sometimes it's a one-time opportunity where someone's giving church a chance again, or someone's giving church the first chance ever. And they're saying, you know, some people, and some of you might have been some of those people years ago, where you walked into a church and you said, all right, God, here you go. You got one Sunday to change my mind. Who do we know who's coming in, and how important is it? So we go back to thinking about that person or that family. So how important is it for them to experience a warm and friendly experience in church, to be able to see the authenticity of that warm and friendly experience? That the love and acceptance that we extend to them will only gain a level of authenticity with them if they see that that is consistent with how we treat each other. You see how this is coming into connect? We know it's biblical that we need to treat each other with love and acceptance. But here's how it impacts those who are coming in for the first time. Because if they see us, hi, how you doing? And they get that treatment, but people that we're familiar with and we're friendly with over the church, we don't give them that same treatment. Why are they going to trust that that's authentic? That that's real? But if they get a smile and a glad hand and we hold the door open for them, or we're accepting of them, and they see that we're loving and friendly and accepting across the board, that what we're giving them is not special treatment because they're new, but what we're giving them is the same treatment that we give across the board, that's going to give a level of sincerity, a level of authenticity to our actions, to that warm and friendly church experience that we want everyone to have here. See, when they see the sincerity behind that, they won't have room for doubt, or at least it'll cut back on the doubt. And there goes back to the whole idea of being drawn to God, that resistance, that reluctance, that reservation. And one, if they get a friendly experience, then yes, that's going to drop some of the reservation. And then if it pops in their head, then, well, they're only being nice to me because I'm new. They're only being nice to me because they want me to come to their church. They're only doing that. But then when they look around and they observe and they see, oh, no, Jack's just the same with everyone that he was with me at the door. I guess it was real. You know? It's amazing what that can do. If it's not perceived that we love each other and we accept each other, then it will not be trusted when we love and accept someone else. And that's super important. Let's write this down. Love and acceptance that is viewed as authentic will be received as authentic. Love and acceptance that is viewed, that's what they have to measure with. Anyone coming in here brand new, they're going to look at how we treat each other. And when it's viewed as authentic, when we have authentic love among ourselves, authentic acceptance, then it's going to be received as authentic. 1 John 4, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." There's that one of the places it is in that chapter. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. No one's ever seen God, but when we love, God's visible. Let's write this down. God is revealed through authentic love. God is revealed through authentic love. I want you to just listen. I want to go back up to the beginning of that passage. I want to read a lot further into it. It's not going to be up on the screen. I want you to just listen and just absorb this, these words on Valentine's Day about love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. There it is again. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. I believe that for the most part, anyone that comes in through our doors, they're going to experience a warm and friendly church. Not only because we extend that to them, but because they see it as a part of our culture as Miami Town Church of Christ. I believe that it's very evident, you know, when the Douglases came forward last Sunday for prayer, and we all gathered around them and lifted them up in prayer in the midst of their time there. And it was after that prayer that the results from the other cheek came out, and the second cyst that was pulled, no cancer, just a cyst. So prayer is awesome, and people see that, and you. They see the love we have for each other. They see how we treat each other. And so I want to encourage you, keep that up, but also know the importance of that. Church, never underestimate the power of love. Never underestimate the power of love. And never forget that there are always eyes and ears everywhere, watching and listening. Why would someone choose Miami Town Church of Christ? Because we are a warm and friendly church. I want to encourage you to keep that up and even step it up.